tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
You know what? We may not have seen any crocodile tears today from Ramona, but I just want to say to her, cry me a river right now. I'm just so, it's just Ramona, and I get it, and we all know that.
She's so remotional.
Oh, there we go. We got a new hashtag, remotional.
I love it.
We are quite obviously discussing The Real Housewives of New York City today here at AfterBuzz Season 7, Episode 16, Awfully Charitable. My name's Lindsay Wegner. I'm your host, and I'm joined today by Miss Fern Ronay to my left.
Hello.
And Megan Stecker to her left. Where can they find you guys on Twitter?
At Fern Ronay, R-O-N-A-Y.
And at Megan Stecker.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Lindsay Wegner. Make sure that you guys are using the hashtag ABTVRHNYC or R-H-O-N-Y.
Either one.
We'll check them both check them and all. We'll keep in contact with you guys. And you guys can write to us on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, all things social media using those hashtags. And first initial impressions of this episode today, ladies.
It was a little more tame than previous episodes, but it's still juicy.
Yeah, I felt like we slowed down a little in action, but there was still plenty of action, I thought.
Yeah.
I think so, too. I think because we've been so on edge and anxious because of them being in Turks and Caicos and just all of that going on, today it was kind of a nice little break. Mm-hmm. Still juicy, like you said, but just more of kind of a nice little break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Before we jump into this crazy slash kind of juicy slash kind of nice quiet episode of Real Housewives of New York City, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about Mazda, who's one of our sponsors and brings, you know, the show to you guys for free. So picture yourself driving down the road, you know, windows down, enjoying the beautiful summer, fresh air, beach air, wherever you're living, forest, lake, all those things that make you feel good when you're driving down the road. And I'm going to ask you guys, does driving matter to you? There's over 4 million miles of road in the U.S. to find out. That's a lot of ground to cover. A lot of highways, freeways, wrong ways, long ways. And they're all out there waiting for you to drive on them. So do you take that left turn at Albuquerque or just keep going? Do you wake up early on Sunday morning for a drive before the traffic does? Or do you take the long, winding road home for a change? If driving matters to you, just get out and drive. Why? Because driving matters. And that's Mazda, our wonderful sponsor for today.
Thank you, Mazda.
Thank you, Mazda. So let's hightail it into this episode right now. And we see Carol and Bethany at Bethany's place. You know, they're kind of packing and she's getting ready to redecorate for her new apartment. And Carol kind of gets into the conversation about what happened at the Denim party and that Bethany always seems to have the best timing because she left Turks and Caicos right when kind of the craziness happened. And she also left the Denim party right before Luann kind of swooped in and kind of pushed Carol to a little bit of annoyance, actually.
Yeah.
Ladies, what did you think of this?
I don't know. I think Carol, the way she was defending herself was good. She was saying, you know, she kind of, Luann tried to get something out of her that wasn't there, which, yeah, you know, that was kind of true. And I liked Bethany's stance, that she was kind of in the middle. She could understand both sides. You know, she doesn't want to be too Switzerland, but I'm a Libra. I like scales. I'm all for Switzerland.
I liked hearing Carol have a definitive point of view because I think we're so used to her being so nice and trying to play nice with everyone. So I really liked hearing her have a point of view and say, you know what, Luann really made a fool of herself. And you can clearly see where she's standing in the whole argument. And I also really liked, even though Bethany did explain in her interview that she feels like she's in the middle, kind of straight down the center, she did say to Carol's face, that she thinks Dorinda harbors resentment for Heather because mm-hmm. they were discussing how much Dorinda couldn't, like, give it up at the end and that she was just screaming and carrying on. So I really liked that, okay, everybody's aware of it. Mm-hmm. Because I know for weeks we've all been like, what is Dorinda's problem with Heather?
Yeah.
When are we going to get to the bottom of this? So I liked that that was brought up and that it kind of was also revisited later at mm-hmm. the charity party.
Great yeah. note, Megan. It's kind of spot on. And, you know, the thing with this whole Luann and Ramona having the guy in the room, I saw a lot of comments on YouTube and a lot of people saying, this was crazy. How could you not be upset about it? And I mean, I think that, yes, we've heard where there has been stuff that happened. Producers let bad things happen. And unfortunately, that's horrible. And I think we can all agree that, yes, Ramona should have stayed with the man until he was ready to leave. I think that we can all agree that that would have been the right thing to do. I also think it was a heightened sense of, you know, everyone just kind of making it a bigger deal than it was. But we do appreciate your comments and concerns. And, you know, this was interesting to see that, you know, Carol was really, truly upset with Luann and coming in and kind of making this a bigger deal after it had already been discussed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that pulls us into the Kristen Smile Train charity event. And all the ladies are there. We've got Ramona and Sonia walking around the party talking to some very young gentlemen.
Yes. And I wouldn't call them gentlemen, but.
Well, yeah, considering one of them slapped Sonia's or Ramona's butt as they were leaving. And she didn't notice. I'm assuming she probably thought it was Sonia doing it. I'm thinking that's what happened. They're talking to some guys. And we also see Heather and Dorinda chatting, kind of what Megan just mentioned, that they were able to discuss that Heather feels Dorinda's angry with her. And Dorinda doesn't want the conflict. But she also feels like when Heather accepts an apology, it's kind of an arrogant way to accept an apology. It's nice to see them discussing and talking outside of the situation. I think that that was what needed to happen for them to move on. Do you think they've moved on? Do you think this was beneficial for them to talk about this at the charity event?
It seemed beneficial, but at first I was like, oh, Dorinda's, like, being fair. She said, I like Heather, it breaks my heart. I was like, she's being fair. And then they apologize, and there's that little dig. Like, she didn't like, you know, the way she accepts an apology. She accepted it. Move on. A little silly.
Yeah, I was kind of confused about the whole thing because, Dorinda made the move to take Heather aside and say, I wanted to apologize. I'm very sorry. And she was explaining that she feels like things feel different between them while they're on the show, which I don't think as viewers we understand what feels different to Dorinda, but at least we are finally getting a peek into what the heck's been wrong with Dorinda every time she's around Heather and just exploding and freaking out. So I was glad that we're getting a little peek into what's going on in Dorinda's head. I did not really understand her chaos crayon.
Blue, navy, yeah. Black.
Let's paint it red. Let's paint it black. I'm like, okay, this is not a Rolling Stone song. Like, what is going on? I don't know if she's saying that, like, she's kind of felt emotionally stunted since the passing of her husband, and now she's ready to just be like, I'm myself again, and I'm a little bit nuts. I can't really understand the crayon chaos. Let's color it with the crayon of chaos. I didn't really get it. But, I just didn't understand the whole conversation because she wanted to apologize, and then it was, well, I don't like the way Heather accepted my apology. But I didn't see anything wrong with it.
I agree.
How long were they friends before the show? Do we know?
I don't know.
Tweet us, because I...
Tweet us if you
I
know.
I feel like we knew it at one point, but I forgot.
I mean, we know that Ramona and her have been friends for a long time.
Like
15 years or something like that. So they've known each other for a very, very long time. And mm-hmm. obviously then Heather, I mean, she said that they've been friends, and they have similar backgrounds where mm-hmm. they grew up and everything. So speaking of chaos, then we get Ramona noticing that, you know, as Kristen has explained earlier at the charity event and in her interviews, she's mentioning that this was her charity event and it was also sponsored by Yummy, and because they were donating all the jeans and stuff to this mm-hmm. event, and it was all for charity to make money off of them, like it was all going to charity. So the numerous pairs of jeans that were involved, mm-hmm. not the six necklaces
right.
that Ramona used to decorate the jeans And Ramona wanted some sort of, not compensation, but recognition or advertising mm-hmm. for her jewelry line. And as Megan had kind of said when we were watching it, you know, they had just done these jeans the night before. They just decorated the night before. So here's Ramona saying, well, they should have put my name on the billboard or whatever. What do you think they're going to change this less than 24
Such
hours
a good
after?
Point. Exactly.
That was a great point. What did you think about Ramona during this moment?
I was just like, tacky. It's a charity to help children, and you're annoyed that because you brought six necklaces, your brand name isn't on the, you know, all over the place. Unless you donated, you know, so Heather donated, let's say, 100 jeans. Unless you donated 100 necklaces that are going to go in the pocket of every single pair of jeans, don't complain. It's so tacky.
I just was in complete disbelief because not only was it bad enough when she was throwing a fit to Sonia while Kristen was giving her speech about, like, thank you for coming, thank you for donating, please donate some more if you can. You know, it was bad enough that she was having that episode then to storm over to Heather, whose event it was not, and say, how much do your jeans retail for? Not even to just say, you know, I really thought it would have been nice to have my company's logo on the signage too. I wonder why that didn't happen, which would have been tacky enough. Like, tacky's a great word. She freaked out at Heather on how much do your jeans cost? Because my necklaces all cost just as much. She was saying nasty stuff like, your jeans only cost $40, blah, blah, blah. Like,
and that wasn't true because Heather was saying they cost anywhere from $98 to $120 or $118, depending on what the jean brand is. I felt like there was no point in her even bringing up how much her necklace, my necklaces retail for $80. Who cares?
Right.
Like, this is a charity event.
You brought your necklace as ornamentation. It might well have been plastic beads because you brought it as ornamentation for the jeans, not as jewelry to be auctioned off.
Right. They ripped them apart and glued them to the jeans, right?
I think they put them through the belt loops
or something. How?
Yeah.
Still.
But, I mean, this is we're here for the charity event. We're not here to, complain whose name's on the signage.
And if you wanted your logo included, you should have said something to the organizer, Kristen, not Heather. I can't.
Obnoxious. Yes, exactly. She should have said something to Kristen. Yeah.
It just was, Ramona just blows me away with her behavior time after time.
Well, I think Heather did a great job of shutting it down right away. Yeah. And she's like, I'm not even going to, like, waste another breath of air on this. Like, bye, Felicia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, she told her to her face, what was it, take a walk. And Ramona really didn't seem that offended by being told to take a walk.
Because I think she realized she knew she was so in the wrong on this, like, argument. And
well, then she called Carol Heather's lackey.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, this is not going well.
She just was ready and out for blood with somebody to piss somebody off. And and the Heather and Carol were kind of joking about it. Right. She's like, well, wait.
They didn't even indulge her.
Sometimes you tell, me I'm her lackey. Who's really speaking for who? Who's the puppeteer now?
They handled
it was great because they didn't even really indulge her. They didn't get upset, which would have made Ramona happy. Mm-hmm.
And that was basically the end of the scene then.
Yeah.
So it didn't go anywhere because the ladies didn't
allow it to. Which is more of, I know we were talking last week, like we've really never seen three women not fight on a Housewives franchise. So Carol, Kristen, and Heather still have their streak going. Yeah.
They're doing it. Well, speaking of Carol, she got Dorinda and Heather to go with her to a coffee grounds or coffee brined psychic, and they had this, like, I don't even know where it was, but
in Queens.
But they go to this psychic, and they all hear some really interesting and kind of wonderful news. Each of them gets a little piece of something that kind of helps them move on, or, you know, Carol hears that someone from her past is coming back and apologizing to her, and she mentioned that the psychic mentioned that there was a scratch on a black Jeep, and Carol goes, that I scratched the Jeep, like, right away in the beginning, and that was a joke, an ongoing joke between her and her husband Anthony, their relationship. I mean, how wonderful that. And then Heather was being reassured about her son getting the reconstructive surgery for his ears because he's had hearing loss. And then Dorinda something, there's lots of J's in her reading, and then there's the balloon that kind of, she mentions a balloon, and Dorinda tell, like, we see the video of the balloon showing up, and she said that that was right after her husband had died. There were balloons, and one had crept into her room, and it was kind of like a final goodbye. All right, ladies, Fern, I know you're dying to talk about your feelings on this.
No, I mean, you guys know how I feel about this. I'm a total 100% believer. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, I don't try to convert non-believers, but people might say, you know, why would your dead loved one come back and mention a balloon or the black Jeep that had the scratch? Those are so not significant. But every loved one's going to say, I love you. You know, you meant the world to me. We had a wonderful life. That's so generic, but these are validations, proof that things that nobody else would probably really know. And, you know, she, to her credit, she probably watched a show or Googled them or whatever and could have learned all of these things, a dead husband, a sick child. But these specific things, she received their energy and was able to read it and give them validation that she would never have been able to know. So I love this stuff.
What's the title of your book again?
Well, I don't have a title yet, but it's the story of a single 29-year-old Manhattan lawyer who's guided by her dead Italian grandparents in her dreams. So I obviously am a believer. I interviewed John Edward for AfterBuzz. I did a spotlight on. You can Google it, John Edward AfterBuzz, and it'll come up. And I'm a believer, and if you're a believer, contact me. If not, that's okay too. Aww. But this stuff just speaks to me. So I love this. I was like, this is awesome.
I thought we were going to get a tea leaves moment like we did in Friends. You know, and the one with the tea leaves and stuff. And was that the one also in Massapequa and Alec Baldwin? I can't remember if that was the same episode. But it was, it was a great, it just reminded me of that. So Megan, funny. Your thoughts on this?
I kind of thought this was going to be one of those really funny scenes where this lady was going to be a quack. Because I'm like, oh, she's reading Coffee Grounds. Okay, like, how stupid. The minute she started mentioning the very specific things about Carol, I was like, oh my God, this lady's legit. This is the real thing. And I had such goosebumps at the end of all three women's readings because it was like just such a comforting message for each of them. And to know that it was real for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, how cool. I was like, let's go. I'm at LAX to JFK. I'm ready to go visit this lady in Queens. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I was a little worried, too, initially with the, like, dark coffee and all of them, like, saying it's, like, chocolate or, like, mud.
Yeah.
Coffee mud. I was like, oh, gosh, please, let's not have us be, like, some sort of hack.
Right,
yeah. And it was. And it was a beautiful moment for each of them and to have something like that. They actually did that on Real Houses of Orange County yesterday too. They met with a psychic, Vicky did, and got some kind of closure about her mother who had passed.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say one quick thing?
Absolutely.
Carol said, I don't know if I want my husband all around me, but you know, cause you don't want your husband seeing you hooking up with other guys, but once they pass, they don't care about that stuff. And John Edward would say they don't care about bathroom and bedroom. They don't care what you're doing in the bathroom, what you're doing
they're
in the
just
bedroom.
Happy.
With
their, yeah, it's and they want totally, you to be happy.
Those things are like such base human things, and they're seeing you on your soul level. So they're not seeing you do these human things, and they don't care to see that. So I just had to make that point.
No, I love it.
I love this stuff.
Well, so on top of a psychic, then we get back to therapy with Bethany and Dr. Amador. And she loves that he always is calling her on her stuff. Everything that she does, he gives it to her. He dishes it right back. And I think that that's kind of a good, I think that's because they've had a relationship for so long as doctor-patient type thing where he can do that now without it kind of coming off as offensive. And one thing that he said, he goes, you always shut me down when it comes to business. Mm. As if this cockiness is coming off as confidence that you know everything. Mm-hmm. And we have seen Bethany shut a lot of people down about business or give her advice, and maybe sometimes where it's not wanted and other times where it is, but then it's her way or the highway. And I thought that was a really interesting moment. What else did you think about? What were your familiar favorite parts about her conversation with Dr. Amador?
I like that he said, you come off as arrogant, but there's obviously fear beneath it. And mm-hmm. then I liked her describing the girls, that they're so much fun. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm glad to see that she's enjoying them.
I thought it was so funny that we usually see him in such a straight man role, and we got to see him like kick off the conversation with a joke to her as if it was her humor when she said, like, oh, Jesus, that's so cold there. He's like, no, Jesus wasn't there. He would have frozen. Like, that's like a Bethany one-liner, but he mm-hmm. was able to give it to her.
Totally.
So I'm happy to see
she's rubbed off on him.
Yeah. And I'm happy to see that they kind of have that relationship mm-hmm. and that he's not just like a blank wall all the time, like, tell me your problems.
Right.
Okay, your problem is your damaged childhood. You know, because that's how I feel about him, is that he's very, like, robotic and quiet and no emotion. And I don't know. I was just happy to see that, like, it's gone deeper. They're patient doctor. Yeah. And I wrote something else down. I loved how she called all the ladies barracudas. She's like, I'm having fun with these barracudas. So I was happy to hear her say that because it doesn't really seem, from what we've seen, that she is having a good time. So it's nice to hear her say that she's enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, and something that my mom actually pointed out in watching the show, she said, it seems like the women are always partying. And she said she wasn't sure if that's what they do in all the franchises and stuff. And we do see a lot of dinners and stuff like that and a lot of, like, other fun things happening. But it does seem a little bit more in New York, like the women are always partying. Mm-hmm. And it centers around the partying, where last night on Orange County, again, it centered around going out to celebrate or to be around Vicky because her mom's passing. But they were all bowling. And then they went to dinner. So it doesn't always seem, with New York, it seems to center around the actual partying aspect of it. Versus another occasion to just be going out and doing something. I don't know if you guys noticed that as well.
And I think maybe it lends itself to, because so many of the women are single. So there's only two married ladies. So I think there's so many times where they're like, well, let's have them go do this or do that. Or, like, you know, this could be an opportunity to look for men. And from a producer standpoint, it's kind of that voice that I was just doing there.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
And I think it's also, you know, a New York-y thing, is that you're always out on the town. They want these women to appear like high society women. So it's always like, well,
high society women who argue in a restaurant over everyone else having dinner.
Exactly.
Sorry to cut off your thought. Well, just shut it down.
Three dirty martinis in. Who can stop themselves from arguing?
Well, we see a nice little cute moment between Heather and Kristen at Jax's birthday party. It was his 10th birthday. He looks so little. I was like, he's 10?
I know.
My God, he's going to be like a little man soon. And
they're
Kristen,
really cute kids.
Super adorable kids. And Kristen and Josh are there to help him celebrate and get him tickets to SummerSlam, which is a huge wrestling fest, which I think Maria hosts and goes to a lot of these events for SummerSlam and WrestleMania and all that, like, crazy jazz, and got him, like, a little, like, wrestling belt. And
it was as big as him.
So adorable. And Ella giving him $5 as his birthday money. And when Josh said that he would like to be at, you know, she would like her to come to the birthday party, she's like, well, I'll give you 20. How adorable.
They're really,
like, cute kids. It's nice to, I always say it's nice to see the kids on the shows, because when we see them growing up, like Avery from the beginning, and now she's a young woman in college and being successful.
Yeah.
It is nice to see them kind of growing with the show, as everyone else is too.
I always like seeing families, like, when I see their parents too, it makes me like them more.
It rounds them out.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, it's nice to have a marker of how time has gone on, because sometimes with the ladies things really don't change because you're an older, mature person, maybe you're set in your ways, but with the kids you see the physical growth. So it's just a nice reminder of time marching on.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite parts of this episode today was getting to see Carol and Adam grocery shopping and them cooking this dinner kind of together. At the grocery store together. First off, do you guys like grocery shopping?
Hate it?
Oh, I love it, actually.
I love
my list and going. Yeah, I love it.
See, I can't make
I hate other things.
I can't make a list. Shopping. I have to go up and down every aisle, even if I know I don't need anything. I just still have to go up it or down it. And you hate it.
I hate it, Megan. I'm always freezing cold because everything's refrigerated and froze. Like, everything's got to be refrigerated, even if it doesn't need to be. You know how grocery stores are. Just sprinkling everything with water. Not that it needs to be watered. It's already off the vine.
Like, you get like a shower in the produce section.
I'm always cold. It's like, if I don't have a completely defined list ready to go, I feel very lost.
I love it. It's so fun. And I think it's fun to shop with someone else. One of my best friends and I used to always go shopping in college together, and we just made it more fun and exciting. So I can only imagine shopping with your boyfriend. He's going to cook dinner for you and all your friends. How exciting that is. And she's like, well, why don't we just buy the chopping that's already made? He's like, well, no, gonna make it.
I think she's like so afraid of food. Yeah. Like she's like terrified to cook or something. Like making a tapenade is nothing but like chopping up olives. Yeah. And that's it. And she's like, no, it's already made here. And giving him the entire display bowl.
I thought she was gonna drop it.
Me too. I was like, some olive oil is gonna splash on the floor.
So like, cute. And then him cooking for Heather and Jonathan and Kristen and, you know, Carol helping and getting her place decorated. And you guys were saying you loved her apartment.
I feel like she is like the real Carrie Bradshaw. Mm-hmm. Like that chic apartment and her outfits are so to die for and her hair is always like amazing. She's so like New York chic to me. Completely. I feel like all the other women are always trying. And I don't know, maybe it's that she seems younger than she is because she's like, I feel like her clothing style is very mm-hmm. young and chic mm-hmm. and her, I don't know, her apartment reads like younger and cool mm-hmm. and hip. Like those dishes even, were they
the
like
zebra dishes.
Were they it's zebra or like eclectic. Leopard mm-hmm. or yes, just like amazing style. Mm-hmm. Like even the tablescape, it was like purple calla lilies yeah. or some like deep red or with the candles. Like, oh, die. I would have loved to have been there. Just
gorgeous.
Saying.
I would have loved to have been there to eat the food. Oh. It looked so good. Homemade gnocchi.
Oh my God.
Dying.
I'm getting it tonight. great kind of fun for all of them to be together. And, you know, Kristen had said Josh was in Miami on a boat. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he couldn't be there. But kind of, you know, Carol was excited to share this with Heather and Kristen because these are her two close mm-hmm. girlfriends. And they do accept Adam. And mm-hmm. it's not an awkwardness because he's younger. And was it Heather that said, it's not about the age doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's what the feelings that you're getting between the two mm-hmm. people. And their vibe is just
yeah.
adorable.
That's the perfect way to say it. Mm-hmm. And it's like she's such a cool young spirit because mm-hmm. it's like it doesn't matter that he's so much younger.
And he's so cute and he cooks.
She said they had their first real big fight.
Oh. Which it seems like it did. He didn't remember that they had a fight. So was it a fight?
So big.
I don't know.
And their first real big fight is the fact that when he left in the morning, he didn't give her a kiss goodbye.
Aww.
Which that's pretty adorable and cute.
Yeah, they're really cute together.
That's like a way early on in the dating thing to fight about. That's so funny.
Right? Yeah. Like 2 years in, he's like leaving. She doesn't even realize.
Exactly.
Hey, Marissa, can we get some air, please? Thanks. Sorry, I'm like
I'm melting.
Having a hot flash over here. Little hot flash for me. I'm just thinking about all that food, and I'm just getting like, as Joey would say, like the meat sweats. I'm so excited for it.
And it's frigid on the show while they're filming.
Yeah.
And they're like constantly bundled up and constantly eating warm, yummy food. And we're like baking in LA in the middle of summer.
So next up we have Dorinda and Carol. They're getting ready to leave for London. They're in the fabulous Delta Lounge getting some Bloody Marys. Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty tasty before the trip. Although they were missing the best part, the vegetable party.
I expect like a
some
full
meal. I expect a meal.
Salad on the edge mm-hmm. of my Bloody Mary. I want some celery stalk, some peppers, some olives.
I want a bacon or a piece of sausage or some sort of meatball thing with it.
One time I had a little crab claw at the airport in Baltimore. Die. Nice.
Yeah.
So good.
You got to have the whole gamut.
Yeah, they were skimpy Bloody Marys.
They were skimpy.
Come on, Delta.
Get it together. Get it together.
Although the Delta Lounge looked really cushy.
It did. They were able to enjoy some time there before heading out on the flight and kind of have like a nice little conversation and kind of way for them to connect more. And we obviously know that these are the two women that have, you know, they are widows. They've lost their husbands. And so they do connect on that aspect. And it's nice, I think, to have somebody else mm-hmm. to talk to about your feelings. And that's what Carol was just like. Oh, it's really just nice to talk about my feelings with someone that actually understands mm-hmm. and just knows and gets it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the first time in 15 years, I mm-hmm. think she said, that she's going to London. Was it the first time in 15 years?
That on the anniversary of his death, she brought it to London. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
And so now, 15 years later, she's got to go take this urn somewhere else since they are tearing the church down. And Dorinda hasn't been to London since her husband Richard died, and this is big and very emotional mm-hmm. for both of them. Mm-hmm. And they're holding it together right now really, really well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought so. It was so nice to see them talk. Like, you could really see them bonding, and so nice that they were, you could just see them feeling better. Like, it's so nice to talk to someone who understands, and you could just see that. It mm-hmm. was nice. And I think Carol didn't know how to take Dorinda. after a few of the, you know, fights with Heather, and it was nice to see them just talk.
And you've read Carol's book too, right, Fern?
Yes, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I was like, obviously Dorinda didn't read her book or she would know the answers to all these questions. Yeah, it's so good.
And she talks about she can't always say the things that she wants to in her book. She's got to say it to somebody else. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we also got a little bit more info on her relationship with their friendship with John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette. And she said it was Anthony's mom's sister was Jackie Onassis.
So John F. Kennedy Jr. and Anthony Radziwill were first cousins and best friends. Like the two brothers they never had. They were best man in each other's wedding. So they were really close. And then the two girls, Carol and Carolyn, became really close. They bonded. And even though Carolyn Bessette, she graduated from Greenwich, Connecticut High School, which is, you know, pretty nice town, but she worked at Caldor. Remember the store Caldor? It's like a, like kind of like a Kmart, I guess.
Are they on the East Coast?
Yeah, and they both worked at Caldor in the summer, and they like bonded over that. Really cute. Like you reading the book, you could tell that they developed a true friendship. It was really, And so then John and Carolyn's plane crashed 3 weeks later. Anthony died of cancer that he'd been fighting for years.
And Carol said that this was the hardest 3 weeks of her life. And you know, he'd been working at ABC and with Diane Sawyer up until. Right, you know, they worked with him, you know, with the cancer. And to, I mean, your best friend and then your husband's best friend and then your husband. It's just.
It was always the four of them. And then she was left alone.
I feel like it's so rare to see these genuine, tender moments because I feel like so much of the show is, okay, we're going to send you out in fancy clothes, add alcohol, and mix. And then we have to talk for 6 weeks on end about how your feelings were hurt about something somebody said after they had a drink. You know what I mean? Like, it's so rare to have these really genuine moments and to see two women bonding over, like, just the most tragic thing that could happen. You know, it was just, like, oh, it's like watching someone's real life, like just sitting over their shoulder and watching a conversation happen. Yeah. Like I thought it was just amazing.
It was like real reality TV.
Yeah, it was real reality TV for once. I thought it was just like really amazing. And it went on. I liked how it bridged over a whole commercial break, they gave it time to breathe and you could really, the conversation wasn't so chopped up and edited. It was really a big peek into their lives.
Absolutely. And didn't you feel so bad for Dorinda? She seems to, and that was only in 2011, she seems to really be still grieving. I felt,
The picture montage of her and Richard. I mean, and I even pointed out, I think he looks a little bit like John. Yeah. Or John looks a little bit like Richard. I mean, and she, you know, if you have a type, then you have a type, and you stick to the same type. And he is probably a reminder a little bit of, you know, her feelings for Richard. So, any other thoughts on the episode at all, ladies?
I don't know. I was surprised that Dorinda had lived in London for 10 years. I didn't realize that. That was cool.
And I can't believe she hasn't been back since he passed, so this is going to be very emotional.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Let's get into some news and gossip before we jump into predictions, since Fern's got something juicy for all of us here.
I have one tidbit that came to me yesterday. My source, a friend from college, who we'll call Deep Throat.
We'll call Deep Throat?
The source.
Like Watergate.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes.
So she was at Jill Zarin's party in the Hamptons this weekend, and they were giving out gift bags, and you had to have a special ticket to get a special gift bag, and Ramona apparently did not have the special ticket needed, and she went ballistic on the girls that worked at the girls working the gift bag counter, and it was a big scene, and it makes me wonder if Jill Zarin might be coming back, because I could see next season a storyline about gift bag gate that she wasn't treated properly.
For sure. I feel like there's a lot of bad blood between those two that'll never be settled.
Yeah. Didn't you say, Megan, that if Jill comes back, Bethany won't stay?
Oh, I mean, that's my personal opinion, I think that Bethany would never do the show with Jill again.
I would love to see them do the show together.
I would too.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think you're right.
I can't stand Jill personally. I feel that the show is just fine without her personally. But, you know, I was looking at a bunch of pictures of women who did go this weekend, and all the pictures Jill posts, I never saw Ramona. So,
But we saw Viva too.
Mm-hmm, yes. Yeah. Who looks so different. And Jill's face looks so different.
So different.
Well, let's jump into some predictions then and get over there.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So we get a couple little snippets. Carol saying that she wished she had just one more day with Anthony. And Dorinda kind of saying that she was happy that, you know, Richard had died. And she finally got some sleep. And it was, but he was never a burden. It was always an honor.
Oh, got it.
Which that was beautiful. Because I was a little bit confused. Because we obviously knew how much she loved him. So that was a little confusing. And then we see some sort of party where everyone's wearing red. Valentine's Day, skinny girl. We're not quite sure what it is. Predictions for next week's episode, ladies.
I'm so bad at the predictions. I picture, I predict crying. A lot of crying. But it'll be good. It'll be real
emotional tears from Heather TV. Or Carol and Dorinda.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a slower episode like this week where we'll do a few, there'll be a few events and storylines, not all seven women in the room all together going crazy.
Yeah.
I think that maybe the red dress thing, I think Valentine's Day is a good prediction. Maybe it's like all the single girls go out on Valentine's Day and, you know, add alcohol mix. And it's, I mean, it looks like it's classic Ramona, classic Sonia next week. So exciting.
I love the editing in the previews because it was Dorinda saying that line, you know, about her husband. And then you cut to Sonia in a red dress with a shirtless man.
I broke my tooth trying to rip his shirt off. I mean, apparently Bethany finds it so funny she falls down laughing. So it should be a good one.
Well, I think with how emotional and deep the trip to London's going to be, I think they have to bring a little bit of lightness to the episode. And we know the parties with the women always getting crazy and drunk always adds another
party.
Layer of fun.
Layer of fun to the whole show itself, so it always gives us something to kind of look back on, relax on, laugh at, and have a little bit of sense of humor, too, considering it's going to be a harder episode. So, big episode next week, and where can they find you, ladies?
You guys can find me, Megan, on Twitter and Instagram. Same name. It's going to be at Megan Stecher, MeganStecher.
This is Fern. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fern Ronay, Ronay.
And this is Lindsay. You guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wegner. That's LYNDSEYWEGNER. Or my blog, lindsaywegner.blogspot.com. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. AfterBuzz TV.